I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. We are moving on with our bloggers roundtable. With us, we've got Deborah Dickerson. She blogs at motherjones.com. LN Rock, otherwise known as the African-American political pundit and education analyst and blogger, Casey Lartig. His blog is The Casey Lartig Show. So we were just talking about Senator Obama, talking about his drug use in high school and how he got himself together and whether that was oversharing. The first thing that came to my mind, LN, was the whole I've committed adultery in my heart, the whole Jimmy Carter speech or interview. Are there times when honesty is too much? Was this one of them?
Oh, no. In fact, as I was listening and I heard it, it sounded similar to myself. There were times when I got into drinking, experimenting with drugs. There was a stretch of time where I did not really apply myself. Wow, that sounded like me before I went on to get my undergrad and graduate degree. I mean, he did and talked exactly what the American people want to hear. Honesty. How dare we have good, honest politicians? That's the credibility gap that has existed in politics for so long. And I'm so thankful that Obama was willing to say, hey, listen, I make mistakes and I'm honest about those mistakes and I learn from those mistakes.
Yeah, this is Casey.
Go ahead, Casey.
When a politician becomes honest and speaks the truth, I think we should not attack that endangered species. Let these people tell the truth. Let's encourage it. And in fact, now I think that Obama had a couple of things. We're looking for like a bigger point. I think for him is strategy, first of all, to contrast himself with Bill Clinton. And I think the second thing is, since there's been this constant question about, is he really black? Is he a magic Negro? That he may be trying to prove he has street cred, that, you know, by pointing out the fact that he smoked weed in his dorm room years ago.
Well, that could also be
prep
school cred.
Of getting busted. I think he's afraid that somebody's got some photos that they're offering up to the National Enquirer. So I think he's covering a lot of bases at
yeah.
once.
Well, he already talked about this stuff in his book, but I think, yeah, he's bringing out it this time probably, you know, for the reason Deborah just mentioned, because he wants to get out
thing.
In front of it. So
that's a real good thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to move on in a second to another topic about Barack Obama, but 45% of voters said that they'd be less likely to choose a candidate who used drugs. So does that just fly in the face? I mean, Casey, does that fly in the face of what you guys have just been saying? You seem to all agree.
Yeah, but see, this is the problem with polls, because you bring out like four or five and you're going to find contrasting things all the time. And ultimately, people are just going to make a decision on, you know, whatever is of, you know, value to them. It might turn out that, yeah, I don't want a candidate who's for drugs, but they might like something else that Obama does, so they'll look past it. Now, maybe on the Republican side, that might be a little more serious, where at least I think they take a stand against, you know, people being allowed to use drugs. At least publicly they do that.
Well, actually, we don't see a lot of the Republican candidates announcing their stance. Deborah.
Yeah, I think I didn't look at the wording of that poll, but I don't think most Americans would vote for someone who was presently using drugs. He's saying I did it, 25 years ago, and it was a mistake, and I'm lucky that I got away with it. If he said, yeah, I light up every now and then. Remember, he had to quit smoking. This is how puritanical this country is. So if he said, yeah, every now and then I have to veg out and smoke a little bud. No, he's not going to get elected. But he's doing something useful by saying, I used to do it a long time ago. Luckily for me, I was able to stop that train. But you don't know if you're going to be able to, so don't go there. But he's never going to admit to doing drugs currently.
But when I just said very glibly, the Republicans haven't announced their stance, what I meant was that there has not been as much questioning of Republican candidates around drug use as there seems to have been around Democrats. Right now, there hasn't been a lot of attention, for example, to whether Giuliani or Romney or any of the other candidates have ever used drugs. Is it still a litmus test? I guess, Deborah or Ellen, do you think that it's still a litmus test that people really want to know about, or is that fading?
I don't think so. I really don't think that people want to know what they did in their past. They want to know what is their plans for the future of the country. I really, if anything, I want to know of all the candidates, if any of them have any closet things in regards to, playing footsies in the airport. If they got problems like that, then, or issues like that, they should bring them out right now. That's not a problem. problem. It's just an issue that they need to bring out. But if they have smoked some marijuana when they were a teenager, I could care less, and I think the American public could care less.
All right. Very briefly, in April, Reverend Jackson endorsed Barack Obama for president. And yesterday he wrote an op-ed piece for the Chicago Sun-Times. He basically called out Obama and other Democrats for not paying attention to issues important to African-Americans. And the one exception, he says, is John Edwards, mostly because he started campaigning in the Ninth Ward in New Orleans and made addressing poverty central to his campaign. That's according to Reverend Jackson. Do you think that that's really the case, Casey, that Reverend Jackson is pointing out that the Democrats have not been digging in on social issues?
You know, first of all, John Edwards opening his campaign in the Ninth Ward is like the criminal returning to the scene of the crime. I mean, right at the time he was doing that, you know, his company was foreclosing on poor people. So for me, Reverend Jackson is still more impressed with people's words rather than their actions. So I don't really see much there now about that. So.
Ellen, any thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of hypocritical that Jackson at first is supporting Obama and then saying, well, Obama, you're not speaking to the issues on none of the other Democratic candidates. They are not. I agree with him that they are not. They haven't come up with a strategic plan, no outline on what they're going to do for New Orleans or any other urban area across America. What is your strategy? What's your approach? And what are the outcomes that are expected? He is right on that, but he's wrong on supporting Obama first and then saying, well, Obama, come up with a plan. Sounds like a contradiction to me.
Deborah, I'm going to do something terrible to you. I'm going to throw you
a totally
different topic.
Okay.
Well, you know what?
I have to blog my answer to the last question.
No, you know what? Go ahead. Go ahead. You're going to just mess up Michael Jackson, but please go ahead. Tell us what you think about
Barack
Obama.
You cannot mess Michael Jackson up any more than he already is. No, I would just say that I think it's perfectly legitimate. I think it's your job to critique and ride herd on the people you endorse. What's the point of riding herd on George Bush when you're supporting Clinton or Obama? I think it's perfectly legitimate. It's if I find out, if I'm watching whoever I'm going to vote for now, and if they make me unhappy, I'm not going to vote for them in November of 08. So I don't have a problem with criticizing the people you endorse as long as it's legitimate.
Get the commitments first.
Yeah, he should have. Exactly. I agree
with that. There's no accountability.
Then it shows he made a mistake by committing so quickly, by endorsing him so quickly.
He's not laid out a plan for urban areas, of all things, Chicago. You haven't come up with a plan.
That speaks to how dragged out our electoral process is. It's ridiculous how long people have to campaign. So I don't have a problem with, and they probably have criticized him privately, didn't see any changes that they wanted, and now I don't have a problem with criticism that is legitimate.
This is a guy that ran for public office. He ran for president previously. I'm talking not about Obama, but Jesse Jackson. He knows the play. Tell us what you're going to commit to, Obama, and lay it out to us in a Marshall Plan for urban areas. Tell us what you plan to do.
Ellen, you got the final word. Ellen and Casey and Deborah. Michael Jackson's Thriller is 25 years old. That's all we have to say on that topic. Thank you. Thank you guys for joining us.
We've been talking
with education analyst Casey Lartigue. His blog is The Casey Lartigue Show, LN Rock, otherwise known as the African American Political Pundit. They both were at our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. We also had Deborah Dickerson, author of the books An American Story and The End of Blackness. She blogs at motherjones.com. She was at member station WAMC in Albany, New York. And you can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org. The conversation doesn't stop there. On our online series, Speak Your Mind, you can get a chance to sound off on the issues that you care about. To find out how, go to our blog, nprnewsandviews.org, and click on Speak Your Mind.